This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, Boomer Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Willie Colon in for Boomer today and tomorrow. So, I know that the NHL definitely won the weekend. There was no two ways about it. Hockey over basketball, if you want to look at it that way. But the problem I have is I don't know why we still look at it that way. So, I saw so many memes of Adam Silver. Like, this is what Adam Silver looked like when there was another fight, or this is when Adam Silver found out that the game was this or the game was that. Like, what is it about the hockey people that they need people who don't like hockey to recognize them? It's this inferiority complex that drives me crazy, where it's like they can't just have that night and enjoy it. They have to then be, like, crapping on basketball because their All-Star weekend stunk. I don't look at it like that. Like, I mean, if you ask me the question, hey, who had the better weekend? All right, hockey had the better weekend.
Sure.
Fine. But does that matter? Like, does it really matter? Like, if your first thought or one of your first thoughts, if you are a diehard hockey fan after that game and you're a U.S. fan and you watch that game is, man, like,
Adam, take that NBA.
Right. Adam Silver must be rolling around all pissed off about this.
China.
Yeah, right? Like, you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
Like, and this has gone on for the longest time with hockey fans. Like there would be calls to the radio station where someone would want to talk about hockey, but then they would start off the call by, you guys don't talk enough about hockey. So I'm like, okay, you had your opportunity where you could have talked hockey. Now you're wasting time talking about why we don't talk about hockey when you could have been talking about hockey.
Well, I think because the NFL dominates, right? And Big Brother, next to the NFL is NBA. I think hockey just feels slighted. And then I feel the more... soccer continues to grow. Baseball is always going to be in the mix. Like, they just feel like they keep getting pushed down the list as far as recognition.
But why? Like, the game's not going away. The league's not going away.
No. It'll always be what it is.
I guess this is like a human nature question more so than just the hockey fan. But why is it that when something you like, if you talk or whatever else, like, there's a group of people and most people that want it to be more popular than it is? Like, when I like something, if it's not that popular, I don't care. Like, if I share it with somebody, it's because I think maybe they'll like it, and I'll say, you know, maybe this is up your alley. You know, not a lot of people are talking about this, whatever. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's not like I feel the need to be like, how could you not watch this? How could you not love this?
But listen, to be honest, we started the show talking about the three fights in a minute off the tip off. Like, if those fights don't happen, are we talking about the game?
Not as much, but I do think the booing of the national anthem, U.S. Canada, the fact that U.S. won, but no, the fights were a big part of it. Yes,
right.
The fights drew in.
So for a casual fan like myself,
yeah.
If the fights don't happen, if I don't see those highlights and I don't see those guys getting after each other, I'm like, okay, they had a day.
Yeah. Right. And I think, too, like when hockey gets into the national news, it's generally with stuff like that. There's a big fight or a big hit or this guy's going to get suspended or whatever.
In reference to the NBA and NFLs, players, their drama, their businesses, things they get into, like the personalities of
trades, forcing yourself out of there, whatever. You know, and I just, it was super entertaining that these guys cared that much in that game and the political side of it where the Canadians are pissed at the U.S. for the whole, you know, 51st state thing and they're booing the national anthem. It's getting everybody fired up. There's fights. I can understand how that's entertaining. I just don't know why anybody who loved that would let the fact that the country has liked the NBA more than the NHL ruin that for you in any way. Like, it's like you can't, like, there's no, there's not, this is not a contest, really. You know what I mean?
Well, people just want their flowers, and it seems that's what they're reaching for.
I guess, yeah. You want to be right type of thing.
Correct.
Like, I told you this is better, but people don't like it. They don't like it. You know what I mean?
And I'm trying, off the whim, I'm trying to think, and I'm the wrong person to have that have this conversation, but what would, for a casual fandom to be more invested in it, I don't know what the NHL could do more.
Yeah, I believe that it's all about the every one of these sports as the years go on become more and more regional in my mind. Now, I do think the NBA definitely you could have a star anywhere and you know people pay attention to it, but it's getting these communities into the team because they're winning. That's
facts.
The only thing that riles people up. Like for the teams that stink year in year out in baseball, like. There's nothing that they can do to capture the young fan there. Absolutely nothing. So, I mean, if your team is good, for example, like the in Nashville and Vegas, the NHL's done a great job there of growing in those franchises because they won. They were, you know, Nashville's in the playoffs. You know, Vegas won a cup, like, and they got into that. It's not like the people in Vegas and Nashville were like dying for hockey.
They needed a lift.
Right. It was like the provincial nature of, hey, our team is doing well in a professional atmosphere and they like the game as they, but it's first and foremost, it's like, hey, this is awesome. Our team is doing well.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. I think anytime you can slap on your city to a team that's successful, people are going to naturally rally behind it. Even if they don't necessarily understand the sport or understand the history, be like, oh, I'm from Nashville. This is my team. I'm pulling for them now. So I get that.
Yeah, and I think the biggest problem that all these leagues have is the long, seemingly meaningless regular seasons. And the NBA tried to do something about it, and I know there'll be diehard NBA fans that'll argue with me, and maybe you're on the side of it too, where they love the NBA Cup. The NBA Cup doesn't do much for me, but
I hate the Cup.
Yeah, so it doesn't do much for me, but I know that they're trying to do something in season that feels different than the regular season. But that's the biggest issue with our attention spans and how much that we, especially with like these debate shows that are out there, we put the emphasis on winning and champions and who is the, like we only care about that. And if these regular seasons go on and it's like, God, this is so long and meaningless.
Think about the NBA right now. It's just such a mundane product, man. Like I grew up, and like you said, we grew up around the same age range. But I grew up on a Tuesday, staying up past my curfew to watch Suns and Rockets. You know what I mean? Like knowing that it's 12 o'clock and I got to get up in like 4 hours. But because the product and the competition and the stars, the headlines. I mean, I was more invested in that. I can't, like some of these games. I'm like, even though I may know who's on the floor, I'm just like, eh.
Yeah, and that might be an age thing.
And I was going to say that too.
I mean, that has to be something to do with it. I mean, I think once you, I mean, there are people that remain the same fanatical fan throughout their entire lives. For me, it changed when, you know, with children. I mean, it just.
And wife.
Right. Those things change. I mean, it doesn't mean that you don't care about your teams or love your teams or passionate, but it's not the, like up there on the list. It
honest to God, and I said this in public, if it wasn't for the Knicks, I don't think I'd be watching basketball.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, and I do like college basketball. I love the tournament, not just for the gambling standpoint. I love the tournament because like it's just there's so many games and they're short and you're into it and there's upsets. And like I do love the tournament in college basketball. As far as the NBA goes, I mean, I didn't watch the NBA for a long period of time because the Knicks were so bad. Like, I couldn't get into it.
I was still watching when they were bad. I just took it on the chin. Maybe I'm just more loyal. But overall, to your point with the age and responsibilities, your time wavers. But I do think if for somebody who's maybe the flip side, who is not as invested in the NBA, like back then you could say, well, there's a reason. Now, with guys between loaded man's like LeBron not playing in the All-Star game is nonsense. Now, I understand he's 30. You know, they got 30 more games to play. He's still averaging 24 points.
Should have said something earlier.
Like, people are going to the All-Star game to see LeBron James.
They don't know if he's playing next year. I mean, he could retire. He probably will play next year, but it could be his last All-Star game. You know, people definitely wanted to see him.
And they were robbed of that.
Yeah. I also think that, you know, when you have to have these electric superstars in the NBA, and they always seem to be there, and these dynasties are another good story, but like when LeBron goes, there's definitely going to be a huge void there.
As you're saying that, I'm trying to think in my head, who carries that? Who carries the league at that point? Because Steph is on his way out the door.
People don't understand that
Steph is getting a little long in the tooth as well.
Yeah.
KD as well. Like that whole generation of KD and LeBron and Steph, all those guys are...
Anthony Edwards is a guy who's got huge potential.
Right, but he didn't even play.
Yeah. But I mean, and listen, there are some great European players out there, but it's not the same. It's not. Like, you can tell me that Luka Doncic and Jokic and those guys.
And Wemby.
Like, it's... Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the same as Kobe and LeBron Curry.
Yeah, it doesn't make you lick your lips like, ooh.
KD. Yeah, it's just, you know.
Different game.
Right. There's Michael Jordan and there's Tony Kukoc, you know? It's just a little different. It is what it is, dog. Right, exactly. Let's go to Nick in Huntington. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you this morning?
Good, Nick. Morning. What's up?
I really like the conversation. I really like the philosophical standpoint of, like, wondering why, like, there's, like, this kind of, like, quote, inferiority complex, unquote, among hockey fans. And as somebody who follows basketball, hockey, football, baseball, all these equally. I'm an equal fan of all of these. I think I know the most about basketball personally. I follow it kind of the most. I kind of always have in my life, but I can kind of explain why I think, especially, I mean, I know it's always been this way with the inferiority complex, but I can kind of explain why now you're seeing it probably even more than ever. And it kind of has a lot to do with the point that was made earlier with the product on the court, especially for NBA, if we're comparing it to NBA, like the product on the court, right? It's mundane. It's very mundane. And this is coming from somebody who loves basketball, but I cannot stand the league right now. Now, where hockey fans are getting upset is because basketball is getting gets a lot of primetime coverage. There's no doubting about that. That's not going to change. But I think hockey fans want more primetime coverage, because we know that the product we have on the ice in hockey, and I say we because I'm a fan too,
Nick, but let me stop you for a second, because you know that argument 20 years ago I could totally understand, because you'd have a couple of sports stations, you'd watch ESPN, and if they weren't covering it, then you weren't getting your hockey fix. Today there's so many outlets for content to find that are so unbelievably specific that you can't tell me you can't find enough hockey content. And there's probably 6 Toronto Maple Leafs podcasts that are popular. So, I mean, this day and age, to me, like, you could find anything that you like and get a lot of coverage of it.
I mean, I completely agree with that, but I think what hockey fans want is they want it to be, like, elevated kind of on, like, this pedestal that these other major sports tend to get put on, because I think what's happening right now is a lot of people, kind of including myself too, are complaining about this state of, I say, the league of the NBA. Like, right, they're not happy with it. They want a more exciting product. And the thing with people who, like me, who follow hockey and basketball, like, all at the same time, it's like, we have that for you. Like, hockey has this product that you really, really want, and it's really exciting. And these guys are always playing for something, because these guys are not out here making $50, $60, $70 million a year. They are making tens of millions. It's few and far between.
I guess Nick, thanks for the call. I guess really what my question is why even thinking about the NBA? Like, are you telling me that
they know they can't beat the NFL?
Yeah, but
that's kind of like, I mean,
but is there a competition between leagues as a fan? Now, you want to tell me that the commissioners and competing against the other leagues and making money and revenue and TV deals, sure. But as a fan, what does that mean anything to you? Like, if you can watch your teams, you could enjoy your sport, why in the hell would you care that more people are watching the NBA than your sport? It's not going anywhere.
Well, I think because one, the NBA celebrates more of the superstar, but yet they have a mundane product. And from my understanding, what he was saying, that they have a really good product with stars, and they're not getting the same light. So how is it not balancing out?
Yeah, okay. That's a fair point, and I understand that. I just don't know why you would care. Like, that's the interesting thing to me. Like, delving deep into the brain of the NHL fan, like, you're getting everything you want.
If you're a purist.
Right, but, yeah, I mean, you're getting everything you want from the game of hockey. You could find a million different ways to consume the sport. I mean, you don't have to pay attention to the NBA. And what, like, ESPN is doing or Fox Sports is doing or whatever they're doing should not matter to you. But, like, you want the shows to lead with this as opposed to LeBron not playing in the All-Star game, and that's going to make you feel better? Why? Like, you just got this amazing thing on Saturday night, and you're still finding a way to be pissed off? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. That's all. I just, like, because, and not necessarily with hockey or anything sports-related, but, like, if there's a TV show that I absolutely love or a musical artist that I absolutely love, and there's someone who's more popular than that person that I like, I'm not trying to compare the two, and the person I like needs to be more popular. I'm not running around campaigning for that person. I'm enjoying it. I got access to the music. I can go to the concerts. To be honest with you, it's better when the things you like aren't as popular because the ticket prices are down.
Fair.
Right? The merchandise isn't as expensive. You know, it's like...
I wish Beyonce wasn't as popular.
Right.
She decides to drop her ticket prices right around tax return season.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
But my wife is like, I want to go see Beyonce. I'm like, for the fifth time? You didn't see enough? For the fifth time, we want to see Beyonce? Tickets start like $2,500? It's nuts.
Well, yeah. And think about those tickets. Think about Taylor Swift tickets. Like, I understand, like, the Taylor Swift fans want Taylor Swift to be popular, but they're also paying, like, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars to go and see her.
Nuts.
I remember when I was in Pittsburgh when the Pirates, you were too, I think, when the Pirates actually got good for a couple of years and they, you know, Andrew McCutchen was there and, you know, it was the 2013 season, I think, when they went to their first wild card and they beat Johnny Cueto and the Reds in the wild card one game playoff. And the place was insane. And then they moved on to play the Cardinals the next series. PNC Park was nuts. And I remember talking to a couple of Pirate fans like, this is awesome. But at the same time, like, I kind of really liked when I could go to the game and no one else was there.
Oh, my God. That was Gio.
Right.
That was my side chick special. Duncan, man, I used to pull up to PNC on a weekend and have a little sausage and peps in Iron City for the low and sit right behind home plate. Money.
Oh.
And then go right over to the south side, finish that night off. I was king.
Yeah, well, that's.
And I dropped with no more than $60.
Oh, my, exactly.
$60 oh, man.
It was the best.
Everything.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, you get up from your seat, you're back home in 25 minutes. It was the greatest.
I'd be shooting through the four-pit tunnel, heading right up to Robinson, be living like a king. I felt like Bruce Wayne going to my bat lair. Just living it.
Right. And then they, you know, the regular season games are getting packed because they're going to go to the playoffs. And people are like, oh, man. Like, now I got to deal with traffic. Ticket prices are going up.
But to your point, back then, when everything was for the low, everybody was eating. Everybody was having a good time.
Yeah.
Even when the Pirates sucked, people were like, man, this is an awesome ballpark. This, you know, you would look past, you would see the city skyline. It was just great. It was just a good time to just enjoy yourself. Even if you're like, you know, and I love baseball, and I just love just being around the ballpark. But when things get good...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Prices go up.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yep. It's harder to get in, right. All of those things.
Now we're watching the bar instead of behind home plate.
Yeah.
Inflation, right?
Yeah, indeed. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Willie Colon in for Boomer, CeeLo in for Jerry. Are you one of these inferiority complex hockey guys?
No. Maybe, well, I once was. I think I've gotten past that. Yeah. I just enjoy it.
Oh, you was a guy.
I mean, I'm talking years ago when I was younger and probably just, you know, hadn't experienced
in
enough
your
of
room
life.
Yelling at the ether.
You know, it was just there wasn't a lot to get mad about. So yeah. You got to find something to, you know, to pick at. I will say what bothers me is when I come in here and Boomer and I are having a nice conversation, you know, and he looks like he wants to hang himself over there or Al. Well, like, I don't then complain, like, oh, you don't let us talk. But it's like.
Oh, because you're talking, you know, too much hockey.
He's complimenting it, but at the same time, they both, like, if.
Well, you know, he made a great point.
You don't want to talk about it on this show at all.
He made a great point during the break. Can you explain it?
Okay, so yesterday I watched 5.5 hours of coverage of the Genesis Open.
Mm. Okay.
Came on at 1 o'clock.
I didn't know where you were going there, but
came on at 1 o'clock.
I had it on a little bit.
And I watched all the way to the end with Ludwig Oberg winning, right?
Yep.
And to me, it was exciting. It was great. You had this guy, Maverick McNeely, who had this great round. Scotty comes back. So I sat there and I enjoyed it, right?
Beautiful golf course.
Right. I enjoyed it. I watched the whole thing. Like, I didn't, like, pull over someone who doesn't like golf and likes, like, football, college football better and be like, what are you paying attention to that for? Do you see how Maverick McNeely got out of the sand trap? What are you, nuts? Why are you wasting your time watching this other stuff? Like, you're missing out, man.
I don't do that either. I put it on for a little bit because my boys were busy playing stuff. Mm-hmm. And my soon-to-be 9-year-old sits down to have lunch at the kitchen table. And he's like, why do you like watching golf? I'm like, well, I like the sport, you know? He's like, it's so boring, though. So I was like, okay, we'll turn it off. Like, I didn't, you know, force him to sit and watch it.
Well, that's your problem right there. You tell him to shut his mouth, daddy's
well,
here.
Well, I mean, yeah. I could, but it's, I get it. I understand, like Gio just said. Like, it's, I can understand where for most people,
CeeLo's not a shut his mouth, daddy's here type of guy.
Oh, trust me, I can.
I'm going to tuck my pus-filled tail between my legs.
I know that that's how, might be how I'm perceived around here. But at home, I crack the whip, man. Not sure. Physically, not literally or physically, you know, figuratively, just to make sure that's clear.
But like it's
in today's day and age, you know, careful now.
I will say too, like when you
child services would be showing
right. that would be the shock of all time.
Oh man, you talk about headlock.
You got locked up for child abuse
with your fingers taped.
Yeah, right. More of a shock than Justin Tucker being involved in what he's allegedly involved in.
Oh man. God, yeah, another pervert on our hands. So I will say though, when you guys get in, you guys, it's not talking hockey that's a problem. It's how
we're
you
in
talk
the weeds,
hockey. And you talk about these things that are just in like it's so deep and like. A regular season game where this guy turned it over in the second period. It's not, it's that's what gets me going. Like, if there was a conversation about what happened on Saturday night with the fights and Canada and some of these broader topics
that I get you.
More people could enjoy, you know, but like Keandre Miller's penchant to turn the puck over at the red line.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Sounds like you're talking physics.
Right. I can't, you know, I just.
It's minutia. I mean, I get it. I get it.
So, and it's not, and that's not because.
You guys are dorks.
No. And this, here's the thing that I think is misperceived. Like, it's not because I don't like hockey. It's I think it hurts the show.
No, I get it.
So that's why I get angry.
People aren't tuning in to hear us break down Keandre Miller's turnovers. Right. I understand.
Not on a Monday.
And then I'm not telling you. And I know that Eddie will play the drops, and I look like the blood is being drained out of my face. But I let you guys get it out most of the time.
I'm
not like, shut up.
Somebody tweeted at me last night when I was mentioned that I was going to be in this week. Oh, can you actually talk hockey? I'm like, of course. Usually, you know, 60 to 90 seconds per show. That's about where we're at. Per hour is what I said.
Does the rating show there's a dip when
hockey's
talk?
To ask them. I don't know. They don't talk enough of it, I think, to really know that.
Yeah. It's not so much that. It's just when you do this job for a while, you kind of know what's hitting and what's not. You know, and it's like this topic today, it's kind of funny Boomer's out because this is like a legitimate like Boomer, hockey topic today.
Yeah, Boomer would be on a soapbox.
That's
and I
I'll
actually
say.
Like
terrible
have,
day to be out.
Right. Like I have a take on what happened over the weekend. A lot of these things where he's talking about, you know, that the Ottawa Senators are doing something that the rest of the league hasn't figured out yet in the cap situation and putting these guys on long term IR and some guy named Kakanakinen is on the block. I don't have takes on that.
Right.
Yeah.
So it almost puts you in a box. Like you just
Then it's like he starts
scrolling through the
right, and then
I'll
let him. But he'll get it out, and then says what he has to say, and then that's.
And
fine.
Today would have been perfect because it's hockey and politics combined.
Oh my god, without a doubt,
ripping Canada.
Where's my hat?
I know. I mean, where's wow, what a terrible day to be off.
To answer your first question, though, when I walked in here, I'm not going to say I took a shot at hockey, but Al was talking it up in the warm up show and about how great the Four Nations is as opposed to the NBA All Star Weekend, but I'm like. But the NHL next year is going to be back to... I mean, they'll have the Olympics, which is sort of a separate thing, but, like, their All-Star Weekend stinks as well. They all do.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, in his show sheet, he talks about the viewership for U.S.-Canada, and it seems like it's a great number for the NHL.
What was it 1.5?
It was 5.5. It peaked or whatever. So I looked up the viewership for the NBA All-Star Game last year.
5.5, right? Yeah. It's the same.
And it was considered disappointing.
Yeah, it so was like one of the worst they had.
Right.
Yeah.
So I've accepted where the NHL stands. I think I'm not bothered by it because the league is doing better than it had been. Their TV rights, I mean, their salary cap's going up. So it seems the game's in a healthy spot, which means I can continue to watch it and enjoy it. I really don't care.
Well, that
about
was another point
else.
I made last segment was that it's not like you're fighting for the life of the league.
Yes.
No one's taking this away from you. It's not like you're like, man, how dare you? Like a show being canceled.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's
the
not
guy
like that.
The caller before that was calling for exposure. He was just like, how is the
but
game?
But in this day and age, you could like I could find a podcast on snails right now, just like that. Several of them.
Yeah.
People eating snails. People have snails as pets. Like, I could find that. You can't tell me you can't get your coverage these days. And just because it's not led with on Scott Van Pelt, which it might have been, but not led with most of the time, doesn't mean that you can't find the content and eat it up.
I think because of that, that's helped at least for me, get away from, you know, whatever, being sensitive or annoyed about it, because there are plenty of places to find it if you want it.
Yeah.
So I'm all good with that. Got no problems.
I didn't know you were a Golf Channel guy. I found that.
I'm a big golf guy. I love golf. I watch the Live. I get into it.
Watch Live. That's great.
I was in there. Sitting there in my underwear.
You turncoat, how dare you side with Saudi Arabia.
Oh, man.
Where was the tournament? Riyadh? Or was it, this was the Australia one?
Australia.
The Riyadh was a couple weeks ago.
I liked it. It was playing music. It had a little bop to it. It had colors all over the screen.
Who had a hole-in-one in the event?
Patrick Reed.
Yes, that's right. Talk about a former villain.
Yeah, I know.
Or maybe not former, but just because you're talking about it, you had Tiger show up at the Genesis show. I'm sure you saw him in the booth. So it sounds like the... Are you going to get to
this? No. No, I was going to say.
You did already.
No, I wasn't saying that at all. I was saying, of course, I saw it. I watched every minute of coverage.
Yes. So you did have him mentioning, you know, the meeting with Trump and Adam Scott's involved, and that this is, here's the quote. Things are going to heal quickly. The fans want us all to play together. We're going to make this happen. So it sounds like a sooner rather than later, and almost like a formality at this standpoint.
Maybe even this year, and soon this year.
Right. So you know, you'll still have your Live events, but these guys can come back and play with them when they want. As far as him, he didn't play because of the passing of his mother, and he's still ramping up. He's got TGL tomorrow night, and it sounds like he's going to play in at least one, if not two events, maybe before the Masters. So
that's been a tough watch.
What does he look like?
We'll TGL.
See. Yeah, I know.
The whole simulation, I'm just like, yeah.
I know. I mean, I watch everything, but I can't. It's a tough thing to defend. You know? It's like Shane Gillis says with some of the stuff that like Trump would say, he would be like, oof, how am I going to defend this one? But I will. That's sort of the way I feel about TGL. It's like, there's no
I watched it twice, and I'm just like, this feels...
Yeah.
Real quick, this wasn't on the broadcast, so he's on the grounds, Tiger, yesterday there at Torrey Pines, and he's signing some autographs. Somebody posted this somewhere. It's just kind of, he's got still flocks of people trying to get his autograph and saying random stuff at him. So you had one guy saying something that made a lot of sense, and another guy saying something that sounds like it would be on TikTok. See if you can pick up both here in this little clip.
Tiger, I rewatched the 2008 US Open putt.
Tiger, can you send my one seat?
It's a good putt.
Amazing putt.
So you got one guy talking about 08 at Torrey Pines when he makes the putt on 18 to force the playoff against Rocco Mediate. Meanwhile, can you sign my onesie? Sounds like your boy.
Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
What was he saying?
Do you support these onesies? These onesies are made with chemicals that could kill your babies and then kill everybody in your family, and then all of a sudden everybody's dead. Do you? Yes or no?
That was an amazing display. Like, that right there is entertainment.
Yeah, we know you love that.
Screaming about the onesies.
Yes.
All right, what else, CeeLo?
All right, well, I got to be honest, not a lot of great sound from NBA All-Star festivities last night. Now, Steph Curry did take home MVP honors on his home floor as Team Shaq and the OGs beat Team Chuck and the Global Stars in the final, which included Curry draining a three from half court like it was nothing. But we've seen him do that in a regular game, so what's the difference? He did have some input on the format changes we saw this year. Still a work in progress. Felt it improved on some of the issues from recent years, but if you're looking for a throwback back to yesteryear, he says that's not going
to
happen.
I don't want to compare it to any other era because the world has changed, life is different, the way people consume basketball is different. So it's not going to look like it used to, but it can still be fun for everybody. And I think I had fun. Our team had fun. That's kind of all that matters.
Man, it's all that matters. The fans matter too. I know he's a big guy, proponent for the fans. So
yeah, it is funny though. When Kevin Hart's out there with the NBA players on the court, it looks like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh,
yeah.
My wife called it out last night. Yeah. Look how short Kevin looks to Shaq. I'm like, well, Shaq's 7'1".
And Kevin's short.
Yeah.
I
think he's shorter than I am, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, how tall are you?
5'7".
He's beyond shorter.
Yeah.
He's...
I couldn't believe Kendrick Lamar was 5'5".
Is he? Wow.
So is Cat Williams, by the way, also 5'5".
Yeah, all those dudes are hella short. They look like Legos.
So the Knicks finally get a couple guys in. They end up on separate teams in Brunson and Towns. The latter did make it to the final but lost. Knicks back to work Thursday night at home against the Bulls. You had no LeBron last night as he sat out with a lingering ankle and foot issue, so he missed the All-Star game, or games in this case, for the first time in his career. He's keeping his eye on the prize.
I was hoping that it would feel a lot better this morning, but it's not as where I want it to be. And, you know, with 30 games left and us trying to make a playoff push in the Wild Wild West, I felt like it was very important for me to kind of take care of myself and understand, you know, what's coming on.
Gearing up for the stretch run and the playoffs, as you mentioned, especially now that he's got Luka Doncic there in L.A. Four Nations face-off resumes today and tonight in Boston as they switch from Canada to the U.S. And the United States team is 2-0, a couple of regulation wins over Canada and Finland, so they've already locked up a berth in Thursday's championship game. They will face Sweden tonight while Canada takes on Finland at 1 o'clock. If either of those two teams win in regulation, they would clinch the berth and face the U.S. in the final. So you still do have technically the other three alive, but by the time the U.S. and Sweden play tonight, they could be eliminated. And we'll see if the U.S. plays it you know, all the way through, if they're going to give some other guys a chance. You might see a goaltending change as Jeremy Swayman is the Bruins goalie. They're playing in Boston. Maybe he gets a crack tonight. And Chris Kreider from the Rangers, who's been a healthy scratch, is a Massachusetts native. So perhaps he gets to play up in Boston as well.
So I did see on X that the flight for the New York Post hockey writers was canceled because of a snowstorm. And then so Larry Brooks was driving Molly Walker up there in a snowstorm, and I couldn't even imagine those conversations.
That dynamic?
Yeah, because, I mean, Larry Brooks is got to be, what, in his 70s now?
I'll tell you, if he is, he looks pretty good. He might be.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's in his 70s, but he has been covering.
Just Google it.
And then the Molly's in her 20s, right?
Probably.
Like, how were they, you know, picking the music in the car?
Well,
and
she put the video out there that you saw. And then Brooks quote tweeted it, "Safe and sound in Boston. Thanks for all the good thoughts. Earned my PhD in Molly's musical taste as a preteen / teen." And he alluded to not necessarily being a fan of the music.
But like, yeah, if you didn't know the two of them, you'd walk up on that car and ask if she was okay.
Correct.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah.
Do you need help, young lady?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I would agree with that. But they are colleagues.
And you know what? And that is a great job by them, getting up there in that snowstorm, mm-hmm. make sure they can cover this thing.
Going from Montreal to Boston.
Yeah.
Without the snow, I think it's like a 5 to 5.5 hour ride. So.
Oof.
Yeah, weather wasn't great there in Canada. Let's see, little Johnny's before I go.
Yeah.
A little more Mink. St. John's getting it done against another quality opponent.
Zuby is held by Ashworth, no score. Looping pass and a three-point attempt for Scott here in the near corner. It's good. Aaron Scott puts St. John's ahead 64-59.
That is John Minko, courtesy of
Make a huge deposit in the family fun bank.
That's what the Johnny's have been doing a lot of. That clip there, part of an 18-6 run in the second half. R.J. Lewis had a game-high 23 points to send the Johnnies past the Blue Jays of Creighton on Johnny's Day, 79-73. Rick Pitino's team, 22-4, 13-2 in Big East play. Even he's not really sure how they've gotten here.
When you see a team shoot 38 from the field, 33 from three, and 58-6 from the free throw line, you're going to lose by double digits. But every single night, this team wins. It's an amazing thing.
He talked about how hard they work. They get extra possessions. They play defense. So it's working, at least for now. This week, they've got a road game at DePaul Wednesday and then a rematch with UConn coming up next Sunday afternoon. Rutgers did lose at Oregon last night, 75-57, to start off their little West Coast swing, as Jerry will be with the Scarlet Knights, and he'll be back with you guys, on Friday morning.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I saw a lot of this SNL 50 over the weekend. Saturday Night Live celebrating its 50th anniversary. Post Malone doing the Nirvana cover not the cover. I guess he was actually doing the song with the surviving members, but doing Smells Like Teen Spirit. Chris Novoselic, you had Pat Smear there on guitar, you had Dave Grohl back behind the drums, and you know, watching that was really cool. And I think the best part about it, because I had a Nirvana cover band in middle school, Willie. It was
Shocking.
Called Jalapeno Dream. That was the name.
Was that the name of your cover band?
It was, Jalapeno Dream.
Why Jalapeno? Yes.
I don't know. You know, we were young kids. We were creative. Anything that popped into our heads that we liked, we went with. So I was a big Nirvana fan, suffice to say. But watching that was awesome. And especially seeing, like, I had not seen the bass player, Chris Novoselic, in God knows how many years. Mm. To see him out there, you know, bald and getting into it and playing the bass that he used to back in the early 90s. I was
still got it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they sounded great together. I mean, and Dave Grohl obviously getting behind the drums and doing that. It was almost
Dave Grohl. I'm a big Foo Fighters guy.
Are you a big Foo Fighters guy?
Yeah, I used to be a part of my pregame. It was on, if they were like, "There Goes My Heroes," that song.
Oh, really? That was part of your pregame thing?
Yeah, I was on my pregame playlist. Yeah.
Wow.
I used to get jacked up. I went to a PWI. What do you expect? You know what PWI is? private white institution.
Private white institution. Yes, okay, I was going to say. So, yes, you did not go to public school in the Bronx?
No, I went to Catholic school in the Bronx.
Okay.
Same thing, we just wore ties.
But was there as like much shenanigans going on?
I graduated. There were three guys in my class that was on top 50 FBI most wanted list.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they do real serious stuff or silly stuff?
They weren't good people.
They were not good people.
Yeah.
So the Catholic school didn't work for them?
They graduated.
Okay. Well, okay.
When they left, that was the issue.
Right. Eddie went to Catholic school, doesn't believe in God.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what happens.
Eddie's also a Mets fan. So.
It's not even so much a Mets fan these days as a Yankee hater. I think he's more of a Yankee hater than a Mets fan.
So you don't have a team.
No, he does. He doesn't.
No, I'm a Mets fan.
Oh, okay.
But he hates. It's almost like you get more excited for the Yankees to lose than you do the Mets to win.
Right, because the Mets never win. So you take what you can get.
So that Game 5 debacle was like you just hitting a lottery.
Yeah.
That type of excitement.
Oh, absolutely. I hadn't seen them that energized in a long time.
He dropped the ball.
Seemed like you had your finger right on that one.
I did.
Al, you were impressed by Cher on the SNL 50.
Yeah, I was impressed by Cher because, first of all, who knew she was still singing? Then she shows up in the same see-through outfit from the
80s. She looked good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then the people in the crowd were looking like, what are we in for this disaster? And then she turned the crowd. They were into it.
Yeah, Billy Crystal was like, oh my, you see that crowd shot? He was like, oh my God, he was in awe of her.
Yeah, Kevin Costner too. He had his hands on his head like, I can't believe this is actually good.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And, you know, I kind of had, I didn't think it was going to be as bad as other people did because I know she's been having sex with very young men.
Cher?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she likes the blacks.
She's been talking about that a lot. She likes, what'd she say? What'd you say?
She likes the blacks.
Does she?
Her boyfriend's black.
Yeah. Really? I thought it was old, so it's young and black.
Helps.
So if I would have known that, I would have even had even more so of an expectation that she was going to be great. But like, you're not going to convince a 26-year-old to have sex with you if you're not in the will, and then with her to be a total mummified version of herself. So I thought maybe she had a little bit.
It's a win for that guy. I forgot his name.
The black boyfriend of hers?
It's a win for him.
I'm going to Google Cher black boyfriend.
Yeah.
It's Alexander Edwards, A.E., they call him.
Mm.
And are they currently still together?
Well, this is from November of 22, so that's questionable.
Oh, yeah, I see him there.
I think he's still on the roster. I think he's still doing good.
Oh, yeah, look at him there.
It's definitely win. Like, for a while, wasn't there a thing like if you were one of Prince's girlfriend, they like had a certain esteem to it? Same thing. If you're one of Cher's boyfriends, like it's a win for you.
Yeah, and this is her at the red carpet for Saturday Night Live 50, so still together.
Oh, nice. He's 37, so he's actually a little bit older than I thought there. But yeah, good for her, good for them. So yeah, so she's, I mean, this is what I mean. Still got something going on there.
Everybody's going younger these days.
Everybody?
Everybody. It seems like
Bill Belichick, one of them.
Belichick is. We had that conversation the other day, me and my homies, like as a father. Belichick walks into your living room. Like I'll be like, honey, how you doing? Can you leave the living room? Can you leave? Yeah. Me and Bill's gonna have a conversation. I look Bill right in his eye. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Get out of my house and what are you doing?
Man, I don't know.
She's 24 years old. Pretty girl.
Might be even 23 now that I think about it. There they are.
Her parents can be Bill's kids.
All right. Now I'm 42. You're what now? 41?
41, yeah.
All right.
Bill could be our pops.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Project into the future.
Okay.
We are a single 73-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
Just so happens there's one 23-year-old who wants
to be with
us.
Shoot or shoot. I'm not taking that away from you. I'm just talking about the process of like this is a thing. Like my daughter coming home and I'm like, he's my boyfriend.
Oh. Dad there you're talking about. I wasn't even thinking about that. I was thinking about when you said Bill Belichick coming into my living room. I was
as
thinking
the
about,
father.
I thought you were thinking about recruiting.
No,
that's what I thought.
No.
Okay.
As her father.
Yeah. That's
Belichick sitting down like I'm. Yeah. X and O's aside, I'll be dating your daughter. By the way.
But on the other hand, I'm trying to put myself in this situation to play devil's advocate for a second. On the other hand,
please,
she could bring home any sort of level of scummer out there that's around her own age.
Listen, she picked the best of the 76-year-olds in the world. I give her that.
Yeah.
All right? But outside of him being a six-time Super Bowl champion and now the head coach of the Tar Heels,
yeah,
I'm like, baby, it's, it can't be that bad out there that you pulled a 76-year-old man.
Well, I mean, you know, I guess their personalities meshed.
How?
I think that, I don't know. She's an old soul, they say. You know, and he's got more personality behind the scenes than we ever see. Allegedly.
What are they sharing? Tuna dishes and TikToks about World War II? Like, what are we doing right now?
Leave his ass at the retirement home.
Facts.
All right.
Nothing against Bill. It just, I couldn't, Bill, me and Bill couldn't have that that conversation. I'm like, Bill, this is where it stops, Bill.
Yeah, if you're the father, you're saying. Yeah, I guess, I mean, I probably would have to end up saying the same thing. But at the same time, like, I'm more worried about, like, someone who really has, like, their crap not together. And I'm not really thinking
There's
about
that. There's no doubt that dating. Bill Belichick is an honorable and an outstanding, righteous man.
Like, even, but so it's,
but
like,
the age bothers me.
But would you rather have, like, her come home with a 23-year-old guy who's in $70,000 of credit card debt and got, like, a, you know, 100 women that he slept with in the last year and is a binge-drinking loser?
All right. I mean, you just picked. You just laid out the worst human being possible. That's not every. You gave me the worst option possible. Y'all was saying, well, you know, at least he's 23. What do you want me to deal with? How do you want me to process that? All
right, so you're basically saying that she could find someone who's got his stuff together that's around 23 years old. It's harder,
I mean,
though.
Bill's on his back. He's on the back nine.
No, on the back nine. I mean, God, the guy's on the 17th tee box.
Right.
Come on, what are you talking about?
Like, Bill's not playing. If she, you know, she bears child. Bill's not playing with the kids.
That would be.
He's not.
See, I don't like that.
Bill's like, I got Wake Forest coming up. Like, let's call the nanny.
Yeah.
You know, that's where Bill's head's at.
Yeah, when you see some of these older guys like Al Pacino or Robert De Niro and they have kids with the young women, I think like,
Bill Belichick is changing Pampers?
No, he's definitely not. But I
think
just,
he's
like,
dealing with a doona. Bill Belichick's dealing with a doona as he's trying to board his flight to go recruit.
No. Absolutely not.
So that's what I'm telling him. Like, babe, there's you got years ahead of you.
Yeah,
he's seen his time.
But I mean, she ended up in a Dunkin' commercial because of him.
But now she's gonna have years with Cash also.
Yeah, but Cash is great. But it's about life. Like, I want my daughter. You raise your kids to see the world, have a vibrant, secure life. Change, you know, be an impact in the community.
But she could do all of that easier with Bill Belichick than somebody else, like, who's her own age at this point. You know, I mean, they could go through life together and all the things that, you know, generally married people do of the same age. But, I mean, she could make an impact in the community a lot easier with Bill
Belichick. I hope they're happy. I hope both of them are happy. I'm just talking about as a father. If I was her father, it would be a hard sell for me.
Yeah, I know. I understand that.
She's going to just hang in there 10 years, then cash out. She's 33.
Cash out.
Yeah. Cash out.
Is that what I'm raising my daughter? That's her end game?
No.
Wait for Bill, the great Bill Belichick.
She's got her own life, though.
Yeah.
She's got to be successful with the cheerleading and everything.
Think about it. In 10 years, he's 86.
Yeah.
And she's 33.
Yeah.
You're
going to be slapping rice pudding down his throat, pushing him out the door. While you fly around with the black card, I get it. That's a win.
You know, I'm with you. I mean, listen, it's an impossible thing. If you're the father, it's impossible. But still, I'm giving you, he's still better than some other options.
Yeah, he's the best 76-year-old walk on the planet. I get it.
Right. There you go.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.